Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, the college baseball season is separated by just 2 weeks from opening day, and we are oh so close with a lot of great storylines from college baseball recruiting changes to power struggles and a whole lot more. I'm sitting down with an individual you don't want to miss out on to talk all about that and more right now on The Long Ball with Andrew Brown.
From college to the pros, America's pastime in full force, 24/7 on The Long Ball with Andrew Brown.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, young and old, you and me and everybody in between. Thank you oh so very much for joining The Long Ball Show with Andrew Brown, as I am coming to you from wonderful downtown Des Moines, Iowa in the Midwest. It may be freezing cold, but we are having a lot of fun here, and I'll tell you why. You'll know why in just a few minutes. Thank you oh so very much for joining me for what is episode number seven. I'm glad that you have. And for those who have not, and maybe this is your first time, this is a show primarily revolving around baseball at the collegiate and professional levels. But from time to time, I will dip outside the world of collegiate baseball. And I've done that with the help of some listeners, and I've been very grateful for that. I've gotten in touch with Adam Carricker of the Carricker Chronicles talking about the collegiate football system. And that was episode two. But it's been primarily baseball from there on out, and I've especially loved conversations like on episode number five with Chris Weichel of the College Baseball Scouting Network, talking about neuroscouting, something you'll want to know and you'll want to keep in the back of your pocket, as it will be a big force within baseball, just like analytics has been. And also check out episode number six as I talked to the MLB Hall of Fame with Wayne McDonald Jr. of Forbes Sports Magazine, Forbes.com. Now, as we do continue on with episode seven of The Long Ball Show, I do want to remind you that we are brought to you by the great folks at TreePans, treepans.com, saving trees, saving the world, and Insulites. And I got to tell you, Insulites, literally protection you can see. You want to check both of them out, treepans.com and Insulites.com, for more details. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to say, I got to almost give you an apology. I cannot believe it's taking me this long on this show to dive so deep into collegiate baseball. I've done it a little bit in past episodes. I've written about it, but man, I cannot believe I haven't gone so deep already. But I'll make up for that right now and in a big way. There are tons of storylines within the world of collegiate baseball. Every year there are. I mean, there's always the power struggles that you see. There's always who's going to be at the top, who's what team is a sleeper and all that. But this year we have even more storylines. ESPN is going to be broadcasting hundreds of more games, more baseball. I wish I had that 6, 7, 10 years ago. I really do, because I have been watching collegiate baseball for as long as I can remember, and I have loved it. And the only time I've ever gotten to watch it is when they went to Omaha. But now we're getting to watch so much more and get so much more coverage. Going to be talking about that, as well as the changes to the collegiate baseball recruiting system. And I had a thought the other day. How can I do this the utmost justice? How can I talk about all this with the best and in the best way possible? And that is, and I figured out, to talk with a man who has lived, eat, and breathed college baseball, who has both played and currently coaches college baseball at the highest of levels in college baseball. A man who I have really admired ever since I figured out what college baseball was. He is the one and only head coach of the University of Louisville baseball program, and he's none other than Dan McDonald, and he joins the show right now. Coach, I am absolutely excited, over the moon, very pleased to have you on the show. I couldn't be happier with this. Thank you so very much for taking the time and talking some baseball with me today.
I appreciate having me on, Andrew.
First and foremost, Coach, I want to start talking on the recruiting side of things. You know, in every other sport within collegiate athletics, we've seen some sort of engaged conversation, whether it be regarding just the strictness of the rules or violations or injunctions, some sort of talk regarding the recruiting process. But really, baseball hasn't had that much conversation when it comes to recruiting. until recently. And that's come with the recent changes in the recruiting process, including most notably the fact that coaches like yourself and teams really can't have official visits or even leave tickets for a player as counting official visits until their junior year of high school, as opposed to in the past having, you know, that take place earlier, like say sophomore or even freshman year of high school. You've been a part of the ABCA, the American Baseball Coaches Association. You've been a part of that. You were part of the whole process when this took place of the rule changes. And so what were your initial thoughts? What were your overall thoughts on the official changes that have been made and how they affect college baseball going forward?
I think first, we always want to do what's best for college baseball. And I think a real challenge with the NCAA, and I think they've done a good job, you can't put everybody into the same fishbowl and give everybody the same rules. You know, sometimes that sounds right. That's the easy way to do it. But at the end of the day, you really have to pull sports out. And obviously football and basketball have always been pulled out and had their own recruiting rules. And now hopefully, you know, baseball continues to tweak their calendar, tweak the timing of things, because it's a unique, dynamic sport, and we have a lot of logistical pieces to it with AAU coaches, with agents, with scouts. You know, I always remind people, 1,200 kids are getting drafted every June, and you're eligible. If you're a senior in high school, if you're a junior college player, or you're 21 or a junior in college. So we just always have to make sure we look at baseball as the uniqueness it is and do what's best for the sport. And I think when you're talking recruiting calendar, if we're talking about within a year, I think we're doing some nice things in the summers. I mean, I'm an older coach and my boys are older, but I think for the next generation of coaches, to have Father's Day off and be home for that weekend, to have July 4th off and be home for those 3 days. Now, I know sometimes that there's going to be some challenges and issues if a coach is in Atlanta or somewhere recruiting and now he's got 3 days off, can he afford to go back and forth? But I just know there's a lot of coaches, you know, my age and up, that missed a lot of time with our kids growing up, because back when I was recruiting, there was like no calendar. I mean, it was just 12 months a year. It was a free for all. And now that we've done some good things, we just got to also make sure as we start to have a few more dead periods, let's not make the window too small to recruit. Like, you know, now that my coaches get to be home from the signing date in November until March 1st, they're not used to that. And as we shorten up the fall, I'm afraid we might look back and go, I think we shortened up the fall a little too much. I think we made it too condensed where, you know, we've done a good job with the summer. We've got a hold of it now. We've done a great job in the winter months where our coaches shouldn't be running around to a million indoor events and forcing kids to ramp it up in the months of November, December, and January. But I also think we might have gone a little too short with that fall calendar, and maybe something that we'll just revisit. But we'll only know through time and through experience and see how it plays out the next couple years.
And once again, everybody, speaking with none other than the head baseball coach for the University of Louisville baseball program, Dan McDonald. And as we continue to talk about the changes within the college baseball recruiting system, Dan, you mentioned the improvement of players, and certainly you've been a longtime champion about the improvement of players in baseball and the betterment of players in baseball, and not just in baseball, I should say, but athletics overall. But when we take a look at the rule changes in baseball with recruiting, especially when it comes to official visits not being until an athlete's junior year of high school, do you feel like that's a betterment overall, or do you feel that puts a little bit of pressure on the athletes to sign earlier and not end up in a bidding war?
No, not necessarily. I don't think the recruiting calendar changes that. Again, if we're talking in a calendar year and we're talking about when can coaches evaluate kids, I think as we have shortened this window, one of the problems we've had is, and there's nothing wrong with kids who want to play year-round. If they love the game and that their skill set can improve playing year-round. The problem is we've seen a lot of arm injuries, you know, over the last 15-plus years, and we feel that's due to too much baseball, too young an age, 12 months a year, they're not putting the ball down. So as we shorten these calendars and times that we can recruit, hopefully it makes kids changes the AAU schedule, summer schedule, winter set schedule, if you call it that. And I'm a big fan of them playing other sports. But, you know, again, you can't make a kid play football or soccer or cross country or basketball or wrestling or hockey, whatever those other fall winter sports are, if they don't want to. But I also don't want them to feel pressure. Well, I got to play baseball year round. Otherwise, I'm not going to get recruited. And so I'm a big fan of always promoting multiple sports, the health of an arm, putting the baseball down. They need rest. They need time off. And so I think maybe this calendar can help the balance. When you talk about recruiting, there's another piece to this recruiting calendar is when are we allowed to have contact with kids? When are they allowed to visit campuses? And that's a whole nother issue that the NCAA, you know, is gearing towards giving these kids no options in their first couple years of high school. And there's other sports that are 100% behind this. And through our last vote with the ABCA, baseball is clearly not behind that. I think we're 75% in favor of, hey, we need a recruiting calendar. We need to maybe eliminate the middle school recruiting and the ninth graders somewhat. But we also don't want to force these kids with that pressure of going into their junior year, maybe not knowing where they're going or what schools are interested in them. And we just feel like that puts college baseball in a bad position. So hopefully we find that happy medium, maybe after their freshman year and get high school under their belt, get an experience, play some high school baseball, get a full year of school and you know, on a transcript, on a resume, and now as we go into their sophomore year. Because one thing about college baseball, we're big on relationships, we're big on getting to know these kids and their families. And as I've watched, you know, been a part of this the last, I don't know, 7-8 years, if you call it, of recruiting young kids, I've seen more positives in it. I see it's more of a springboard as we get the kids younger and younger. I think parents have enjoyed. We're another voice. So it's not just mom and dad saying do well in school. It's a college that you know you're going to saying, hey, you need to meet these peg points or you can get academic money or whatever it might be. It's coaches communicating with us saying, hey, you know, Johnny's slacking off a little bit or maybe he's not playing as hard and would you mind reinforcing? And so I think for academic and athletic purposes, we're just another voice to push these kids to get them to be as good as they can be in high school, to be more prepared when they get to college. So, you know, there's always going to be pros and cons to it, but I've seen more positives in getting to these younger kids as opposed to 10 years ago when it was their senior year of high school. You couldn't change their transcript. They've been the big man on campus for 2 or 3 years now, as opposed to, hey, I've got a college coach also getting on me that I got to work harder and I got to get better.
Once again, everybody, speaking with the one and the only Dan McDonald, head baseball coach for the University of Louisville baseball program. And right now we're talking the collegiate baseball recruiting system and the changes that have occurred. But Dan, you talked about building relationships and really how you enjoyed that. When you take a look at recruiting and all the intricacies that go along with it, certainly a lot of things from who goes, who you speak to, what you speak about, and so forth. When you tabulate it all together and you look back, is the relationship building side of things, the relationship building aspect, your favorite part about recruiting?
Love getting to know kids, getting to know families. And you know, Coach Schneider and Coach Williams do a great job of that. You know, baseball, it's a long season. You know, when a young man's going to play for you for 3 or 4 or 5 years, I mean, it's a family. You know, we spend so much time together. 56 games, bus trips, flights, you know, and always say when a football or basketball team goes to play, you know, they fly in on their charter flight, they spend the night, they play the game, they fly back, they're home, you know, within like a 24-hour period. In baseball, you know, we leave on a Thursday. You could be on a bus for 5-6 hours, and then you play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you bus back, and you get back at midnight. You just spend so much time around these kids, you know, that in the hotels, the team meals, the buses, the flights, that you really just want to get to know them, and you want to make sure that they're the right fit and a good fit for your program. I tell our coaches all the time, and I tell kids, we're not for everybody. We don't want to be all-inclusive. This is who we are. This is what we're about. If that's what you're looking for, great, and it's a good fit. But if that's what you're not looking for, well, that's okay, too. And so I think as we build relationships, we get to these kids younger and younger, it helps both sides.
And once again, everybody, you are listening to the Long Ball Show with Andrew Brown, presented by Trepans and Insulites. And right now, I'm continuing my conversation with the one and only head baseball coach for the University of Louisville, Dan McDonald. Now, Coach, I wanted to kind of take us into a broader spectrum of baseball now. Ever since I was a little kid, since I could even think about baseball, I've been a fan of collegiate baseball. One question that I had early on was, why can't I see more of it? Why can't I see more ACC games, Big Ten games? Why can't I see more SEC contests? Why do I have to wait until the College World Series just to see these? Recently, over the past 2 years, and even more recently this year, in fact, in January, we've seen ESPN come out and announce they're going to broadcast well over 800 games, cover almost every major D1 conference out there, and basically give more traction to the world of college baseball. Now, for me, Coach, with that, it almost seems as though an evolution has taken place in the media's coverage of collegiate baseball and the interest drawn by that. Now, here's where I want to get your take on it and through your lens here, Coach. What are your overall thoughts on how the game of college baseball has evolved within the media realm, and how has that impacted the sport of college baseball as a whole?
Oh, it's, I played in the College World Series in 1990, and I think Tim Brando did one of our games. It's so cool. But I think one of our games in the College World Series was tape delayed. I don't know if it was live. Some of the games were live, but I think some were also being shown at other times. It is so cool for families, for friends. You know, now a young man can go play college baseball, and his grandparents or aunts and uncles or you name it, you know, I get it. Parents are going to make the effort. They're going to come into town. They're going to see their sons playing a weekend. But there's so many extended family members and friends. How you can just pick up your phone and on the ESPN app, just watch these games. The SEC Network has been great. Now we got the ACC Network going to launch. We've had it on the app, so we're already getting all of our games on your iPhone or an iPad. And now the channel will officially launch in August. So I think it's so cool. It just gives us a chance to, you know, I was saying this the other day, Adam Engel, who made 3 highlight catches for the Chicago White Sox last summer in a 7-day period, 3 robbing home run catches, he had one for us. I mean, his half body went over the wall. His arm went over the wall, obviously. And I just remember the footage we had of that, you know, how just grainy and far away it looked, and it didn't do justice to the play that Adam made. Now if our center fielder makes that catch, man, we're going to have footage. And so, you know, college baseball is fruitful. There are great players, great coaches, great programs. Schools have really made an investment, not just the Power Five. So many schools have made an investment in baseball. The more we can put it on TV and glorify it, it's a great product. I mean, they are superstar athletes, and they're coming out of college within a year or two. You're seeing a handful of these guys in a big league uniform. So like college basketball and football have done for so long, these kids can build a name presence in college, And then before you know it, they're in the big leagues. And you remember, yeah, that guy played at so-and-so, and I saw him in the College World Series, and now he's a big leaguer. I think now when the draft happens, these fans of the Cubs, of the Brewers, of the Reds, of the Rays, you name it, these fans are familiar with these college guys because now they're like, yeah, I saw them play on TV, and I saw that guy. I know how good he is. So I think it's just it's no doubt our fan base has grown, and it's really cool to see the exposure that we're getting across the board in college baseball.
Very exciting stuff for sure. Again, everybody, as we have the one and only Dan McDonald, head baseball coach from the University of Louisville, joining me here on the Long Ball Show. Now, Coach, I really, really like what you were talking about with recognition of these players, as they certainly do deserve it. And I love what you were talking about when you mentioned about Engel and the plays he has made, and certainly as a member in the professional ranks, he's made those plays. And I even remember him at the collegiate level, as you do. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to see all of his fantastic plays, but the good thing is, at this stage of the game, at today's day and age, you can. And along with the evolution of the player and along with the evolution of the media, I want to kind of talk about the evolution of the game as a whole. We've seen a lot of that highlighted more or less in the major leagues, but certainly it has made its way to the collegiate baseball ranks. And I wanted to get your take on really the use of analytics, how it impacts the world of collegiate baseball, and for that matter, coaches like yourself, and how you work with the analytics and how you prep and how you game plan. And of course, with more than just analytics.
Well, we're very much like the big leagues, in meaning we follow the trend. When they change a rule, we change a rule. You know, when you can intentionally walk a guy without throwing four pitches, college baseball follows suit. When you can't fake the third and throw to first, the old 31 move, the big league incorporates, we follow suit. So when they started with analytics and they started hiring more people and using more data, college baseball followed suit, and we all bought the fancy TrackMan systems and Synergy, and we're using all this different data, all this different video to help coach our kids. I think that's always our goal, help these kids be their best, prepare for our opponent, which is always a part of the game. And then you go to video replay. I think that's allowed I know it's helped my blood pressure go down. I mean, it's really nice when there's a what we call a bang-bang play at first or second, and, you know, I can jog out there in the past. If I didn't think the umpire made the right call, I mean, there's nothing I can do but get frustrated and let him know my frustration. Now I can jog out there and say, hey, I think he was safe, or vice versa, and no, Dan, I think it was in. And it was just amazing, especially in the ACC and the SEC last year, where we had video replay for all our games, the ejections were down. And at the end of the day, we just want the call being right. The umpire wants the call being right. Everybody wants the call being right. You don't want to, you know, right now we got the NFL issue, you know, with the Saints, and to have that excuse of why you didn't get the advance, blaming it on an official, and nobody wants that. We don't want that in baseball, and so it's going to happen less and less because we can go to video replay. Technology is so good now, and we can check the call. And as I said last year, it's amazing how many times they were right. I feel like an idiot over the years, how many times I argued and I was wrong. If we'd had video replay, it had shown I was wrong. And maybe at a younger age, I wouldn't argue so many calls because, you know, last year I remember thinking, I mean, I must have been like 0 for 8. My first 8, like I'm reviewing because I think it's the wrong call and it's right. And I was like, wow, man, this is good. The umpires are right more times than not. So I think that's been great for college baseball.
Once again, everybody, you are listening to the Long Ball Show with Andrew Brown, speaking with none other than Dan McDonald, head baseball coach for the University of Louisville. And we're talking collegiate baseball. And right now, Coach, kind of going off of the coverage of these athletes and the attention that they rightfully deserve, I want to focus on the College World Series itself. Now, you are an individual who knows very much about the College World Series. You've been there as a player and as a coach. You know, for me, it's like something out of a storybook. It's so magical. And I remember going there as a kid with my dad, going up to the players, just talking to them on the field. I mean, that was great for me. And I got to assume that it was great for you as a player and as a coach. And with that, what is it like just simply making it to the College World Series, making it to the big stage of Omaha? And then, of course, with all the changes in other collegiate sports nowadays and the coverage that you get within baseball now, what's it like being there in today's age? And what's the impact like on not just your team, but on college baseball as a whole?
You know, it's going to go down. It was my greatest memory as a player. You know, obviously the bonds and the relationships, but when you look at moments to play in the College World Series and how you were treated, I think it's so cool for these kids who, you know, a lot of them, several are going to go, they're going to play in the big leagues, they might play in a World Series or an All-Star game. They're always going to say, if not the greatest highlight of their life or one of the greatest experiences of in the College World Series. You know, it's you know, like everybody says, you got to go to a Final Four and you like to go to a national championship game in football. The difference is those locations change and they bounce around city to city. What's so cool about the College World Series is it's a destination that you say Omaha, much as you say going to the College World Series, if not more, it's about going to Omaha. And I love how they've incorporated youth baseball. So it's amazing how many kids we recruit that are now in high school that go, yeah, coach, we played in Omaha when we were 11 or 12 or 13. We saw you guys play in Omaha a couple years ago. And so I always say for fans, and I'm so, you know, with our local fans and ours in this, I always say, hey, I'm just telling you, I got it, man. I had younger kids and they had tournaments and you got so much going on in the summer. If your school makes it to the College World Series, I'm sorry. You have to change your plans. You have to be a part of it. I mean, it's just such a neat experience, and you'll thank me and whoever else for going, man, I'm so glad he encouraged me to go, because, you know, the stadium, TD Ameritrade's awesome. The city embraces it. I'm like, being in Iowa, I had Iowa kids, you know, Cody Eagie and Matt Cook from Cherokee, Iowa. You know, when Iowa kids get to play in Omaha, Grant Kay from out that way, it's even more special because they grew up so close to it. They grew up going as a kid. So even if your school doesn't make it, if you're a baseball fan, especially a college baseball fan, you have to take a trip out to Omaha and experience one of these games.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Dan McDonald, head baseball coach for the University of Louisville, on the program here at the Long Ball Show with Andrew Brown. Now, Coach, I think that you may agree with me on this one, but every year there's one phrase that sticks into my mind when I think Louisville baseball, and I guess Louisville baseball on the offensive side more specifically, and that would be versatile. So many individuals that come through your program with them themselves and the help of your tutelage, of course, have come to be very versatile individuals, and not just in a sense that they can play in multiple positions, but that they impact the game in many different ways. And again, you've had so many individuals like that through the years. One in particular that I have followed throughout his entire collegiate career and now as he enters the professional ranks has been Brandon McKay. Now, as he enters the professional ranks, he almost acts as a trailblazer with that two-way player setup. But in talking with you, Coach, that is something that not necessarily new to the collegiate world, and I wanted to get your take on that, and also simply what it was like coaching Brandon McKay and his mindset and his skill set and just the way he treated the game of baseball.
Yeah, you know, the two-way player has been very popular in college baseball. When I played back in the late 80s, early 90s, one of our weekend starters was our four-hole hitter. And it's been a part of college baseball forever because of the limitations and scholarship money. And a lot of kids come out of high school and they're really good at both, and so they want to keep doing both. I've had a handful of kids get drafted as one at a high school, let's say a pitcher, 3 years later get drafted as a hitter playing the big league, and vice versa, drafted as a pitcher, I mean a hitter out of high school, 3 years later get drafted as a pitcher pitching the big leagues. You know, so it's like, I think it's really cool to, if they're good enough, let them keep doing it. And of course, we're seeing it now in pro ball with Ohtani setting the tone. And then, yes, you have a Brendan McKay and a couple others right behind them that, you know, what I always said about Brendan McKay, which, well, let's say pro ball said this, if he was just a pitcher, he was a first rounder. If he was just a hitter, he was a first rounder. So now you've got two first rounders with one pick. You know, the value of a player like that, you know, he went to an American League team, the Rays, so they've got options. Obviously, even if he was with a National League team, as many moves are in the National League, there's options. So I was always intrigued as to, okay, where's he going to go and how are they going to use him? And the Rays have been bringing him along slowly. I think he's ready to pitch in the big leagues right now. I think he was ready to pitch in the big league 2 years ago when he came out of our program. But I think as a hitter, if they're wanting them to bring him along as both, they're trying to give him time to develop in both areas. And that's their prerogative. I'm glad they're doing that to an extent, because I'm anxious to see him do both at the big league level. And so this is very popular in college baseball. I mean, I think it's hard to find a team that doesn't have some real two-way guys. But, of course, when you look back and you go, man, we coached the only three-time John Olerud Award winner. Nobody's ever won it more than once. He won it all 3 years, and we have a quote in our meeting room with, of course, his picture on it, and it says, you know, arguably one of the best players ever in the history of college baseball, that you could argue with what he did. So, man, we were blessed. We won a lot of games during his three-year tenure with us, and I still go back, and I did a lot of stories his junior year. I always wanted to be remembered more than his ability to pitch and his ability to hit. What a great teammate he was. I mean, he was – I never saw jealousy. He never had ego. He loved his teammates. And we just filled out our goals yesterday. And each kid has to put down three individual goals and three team goals. And I'll never forget because – and Brendan, I told Brendan, I have to share yours across the nation because it wasn't, you know, be a John Olerud Award winner, win the player of the year, and he was preseason player of the year, of course. It was all about helping his teammates, making memories, enjoying his time with them. And I just remember shaking my head with all the pressure he had, with all the preseason hype. This kid's putting down goals about being a better teammate and making memories with his teammates. And I always thought, man, there's a reason he's that successful on the field. And when they did a story on him in the middle of the year, at that point he hit four home runs in a game and did a lot of great things. And they said, what's your greatest highlight of the season so far? And he said it was the six-hour bus trip to Georgia Tech. And the reporter was like, what? What do you mean? And he said, man, we had so much fun on that bus trip because we don't bus a lot. We fly a lot and all that stuff. And he said, man, it was just so much fun being with my teammates for 6 hours. And I just laughed, and I thought, man, that's why he is who he is.
Once again, everybody, the one, the only, Dan McDonald, head baseball coach for the University of Louisville baseball program, on the line with me talking collegiate baseball. And now, Coach, as we dive even more specifically into your team, every year, every team suffers the loss of seniors. I mean, you had a big suffering of seniors lost from 2017 into 2018. And this year, you're without some pretty big players as well. And I talk about versatility with your team. Two individuals last year that really helped out with that, Josh Stowers and Devin Mann. 30-plus stolen bases for Stowers, 20 for Mann. Really helped this team rank 8th nationally in stolen bases, so well over 2 stolen bases per game. And, of course, they also had some pretty good pop, over .320 for both their averages, and certainly are on-base percentage well over .400. Those two individuals very strong in what they were doing, and now you have to replace them. Of course, not only do you have some really experienced sophomores and juniors now, and even the seniors. They also have a great group of underclassmen, freshmen that have come in as well. And you know, speaking about those who have gained experience, Tyler Fitzgerald had an okay season last year, but certainly as with talks with you and others, he has really gained a lot in terms of his hitting ability. But he's just one of many that could really come up and be an aggressive individual. You got Din, Levy, Campbell, all types of individuals. But who do you feel, Coach, is kind of best suited to step up in that Brandon McKay role and kind of take on those leadership dues, not only just off the field, but also by example on the field?
Yeah, and Storrs and Mann did a phenomenal job last year. We were so young. In 17, we go to Omaha, and we're going to lose Fitch and Hairston and Ellis and McKay and Taylor and Lyman and Summers and all those older hitters. So last year we knew, but we were young. So all those freshmen from that 17 World Series team, they got thrown into the fire as sophomores, and we were just Mann and Storrs were my juniors. They were old. We didn't really have seniors, and it was all sophomores. So it's a good feeling as a coach because now – we have a lot of older players. These guys played in the Cape Cod League. Logan Wyatt, Danny Oriente, Jake Snyder, Tyler Fitzgerald, Justin Levy, as well as other older players that had good summers. And so, you know, Wyatt returned as the All-American, filled in, you know, got to spend a year with McKay and Ellis and had a monster sophomore year. Sometimes you look at the home runs, and they did that with McKay too, and you go, oh, he only had 6 or 8 home runs. And he had like 20-something doubles, 60-something RBI. He walked more than he struck out. I mean, he fills up a stat sheet. I mean, he is a phenomenal all-around hitter. And so he's going to receive a ton of the preseason hype. I think Tyler Fitzgerald continues to get better, had a really good summer in the Cape, and he's starting to get a lot of buzz, our shortstop. And then I mentioned Justin Levy, Danny Oriente, Jake Snyder, Drew Campbell, Ethan Stringer. We've got some older catchers, Zeke Pinkham, Pat Romero, that I'm really going to lean on the older guys, use their experience and their knowledge. As always, though, we're going to lose a lot of these guys like we always do in the draft. I got to get my freshmen ready. And we had the fourth-ranked recruiting class in the country by one publication. And so I got to make sure I get Jared Polin and Alex Benelis and Andrew Benefield and Henry Davis and Ben Metzinger and Tim Borden. And I got to get all these young guys some playing time to get them ready, because next year we'll be here before we know it, and then I'll have that young lineup again. And that's, I like those challenges as a coach. We feel like we got depth, and college baseball, it's hard, you know, to have a lot of depth because of our limitations, our roster limitations, but we feel really good, you know, about our offense going into the season. As you said it, we want to steal bases. We want to do a little bit of everything. I mean, we want to bunt. We want to hit and run. We want to steal bases. We want to hit a lot of doubles. I think that's always our goal, is to pound the ball gap to gap. And then obviously, the home runs are nice. I mean, it's hard to defend the 3-run homer. So Coach Snyder and Coach Vrabel do an unbelievable job with our hitters, and we feel like we'll hopefully be a scary offense again.
Dan McDonald joining the show, the head coach for the University of Louisville baseball program. Happy to have him on. Happy to be talking more collegiate baseball. Now, folks, as we move right along, Coach, I want to talk now on the defensive side, more on the pitching staff. This pitching staff has been known as dominant over the years and just outright filthy. It's a pitching staff, obviously, as you know, last year that had the second highest whip in terms of the ACC conference and was fourth nationally in terms of fewest runs allowed, fewest hits allowed. Unfortunately, as we talked about with the offensive end, you'll lose some seniors due to graduation from the pitching staff, Adam Wolf being the biggest loss of all. But in that same breath, Coach, when you talk about individuals who make it back, a strong core of individuals like lefties Nick Bennett, Reed Detmers, Bobby Miller, Brian Hoeing. Bennett himself touched up to around 93, 94 this fastball, kind of a blow it by you kind of guy. What is your overall thinking on the depth of this pitching staff and who you see as kind of stepping up, kind of like the offensive side? Who do you see kind of stepping up in the big-time roles this season?
Well, you know, in the past 12 years, we're the winningest program in all of college baseball, and that could not happen without great pitching. I mean, let's face it, we all know the value of pitching. I mean, people will argue 80, 85, 90, 95%. You're only as good as your pitching. And Coach Williams is the best, and he does a phenomenal job of getting guys to step up, who can be a Friday night guy and set the tone for the weekend, who can pitch Saturday, Sunday, who can come out of the bullpen, who can be at the back end. You know, last year we lost Sam Bordner. I mean, that changed everything for us last year, where for the past few years with the Birdie brothers and Lincoln Hensman, we've been dominant at the end of games. And last year was one of the hardest years we had because we lost our All-American Sam Bordner about halfway through, and we were trying to piece it together, and it was just kind of an up and down, and we still won 45 games, and we were a two seed in the Texas Tech Regional, but man, we didn't close them out the way we're used to doing it. So you said it, you mentioned the names. It starts with Nick Bennett. The two-year weekend starter, should be year three. Talented arms, Reed Detmers, Bobby Miller. We had six pitchers drafted last year. One of them chose to come back, and that's Brian Hoeing. And that is a big get because Brian has pitched in a lot of roles in our program. And so Brian can be a starter. We know that. I think he wants to be a starter. Who doesn't? I don't blame him. But we also know he could possibly close. So Coach Williams will once again, let's make sure we got the right starters in place. Guys coming out of the bullpen is always a challenge, I think, for all programs, because that's not what these kids are used to doing. So what guys can come out of the bullpen? McAveen, you mentioned Smitty, Elliott. I'm going to forget some names. And then, of course, you know, who's going to close out the back end. And don't ever forget, I said the fourth-ranked recruiting class in the country. One thing Coach Williams has always done a great job of is getting young kids to step up. And we've got some really talented young arms. I think Kerry Wright was our highest-ranked signee coming in from Florida. We've got Jack Perkins, Carter Lohman, Jared Poland's a two-way guy. He'll pitch. Garrett Smells has had a good fall in preseason with us. So, you know, the feeling as a coach, the saying is you never have enough pitching. You know, so, but we feel good at the start of the season, knock on wood. We're pretty healthy, and we feel good where we're at going into this season, you know, with a nice mix of some older talented arms and obviously some young new blood.
Speaking with Dan McDonald, head baseball coach for the University of Louisville baseball program, as he joins the Long Ball Show, again presented by Tree Pans and Insulites. Now, Coach, I have followed you for quite some time, and I really appreciate how you're a champion of learning the game of baseball, bettering yourself, and bettering the game overall. And again, as we have talked about, you have been very instrumental. You love teaching the game. You love teaching it the right way. Now, as you have come across some of your younger teams and even more experienced teams, once you start hitting the fall and winter months, what's the focus like for you as a coach? Again, you've been very instrumental in the teaching side of things. So is it more of getting these younger players acclimated to playing at such a high level and kind of keeping that pursuit up with the older individuals? Or is there another bigger focus that you rely on once you hit the fall and winter months?
I love teaching the game. I don't know why we'd be coaching if we didn't love that. I mean, yes, we're competitive and we love to win and we hate to lose. I mean, that's in our nature, and we want to help these kids grow. And yeah, the longer we do it, the more we realize, man, I got a big impact on this kid's life and what type of husband and father and ambassador he becomes. But I love teaching the game. I mean, the kids know it. I love practice. So, I was a Northeast kid. I went to play for a legendary coach in Chowport at the Citadel. I didn't know much about the game at all. And and to be in the South and learn the game, and then to coach with Fred Jordan for 8 years, and then Mike Bianco for 6 years, who, you know, Mike comes from the Skip Bertman system. And I just felt like I had the best of both worlds. I learned that Citadel way and Coach Port, Coach Jordan way, and then I got to learn, you know, arguably the best Skip Bertman way in the country, and brought that to Louisville. And so I love the fall practices. The spring training is not enough. So for me, I really enjoy teaching throughout the season. Like, I we're not going to be perfect game one or game 10 or game 20. Like, we're gonna have game notes, and the next day we're going to go over them. I mean, we're going to be in Omaha, and hopefully we win. And the next day, win or lose, we're going over game notes. This is what we did well. This first to third, this ball in the dirt, you tagged up when you were supposed to, you scored on that base hit, you name it, anything. And then these are the things we need to work on. You know, we didn't do a great job here. My tandem relay, my outfielder didn't back up soon enough, whatever. Because I love teaching the game. And like Coach Williams always says, our great pitching coach, our job is to get these guys ready to move in pro ball. It's not to get them the pro ball. No disrespect. Getting the pro ball is a great accomplishment, but ask any minor leaguer. It's about moving through a system. So our goal, if you come at our program and we really teach you the game, all facets, and obviously how to win, let's face it, they all want winners, that when you get in the pro ball, you can move through a system with the chances of reaching your goal and making it to the big league.
And once again, everybody, you are listening to The Long Ball Show with Andrew Brown and my very special guest for the day, Dan McDonald, head coach of the University of Louisville Baseball. Love talking with you, Coach. It's been so great. Unfortunately, as all things do, this conversation must come to an end, but not without this last question. Now, Coach, you've been around the game for quite some time. You've been there, done that. You've experienced a lot of things. And if you had to pinpoint, and let me make it easy here, Coach. Let's just say, while your tenure at Louisville as a coach, have there been any moments, or one or two big moments, that really stand out to you more than the others? I know it's a loaded question. Again, every season has a lot of great memories, but are there any that just jump out and say, hey, these are the ones that I'll remember the most?
It's probably two big waves. And the first one, I mean, in 07, we were a 3 seed, and we got selected to play in the NCAAs. I saw the locker room erupt. I probably had arrogance in me thinking I came from a program where we hosted regionals and we hosted super regionals, and these guys are fired up like to be a 3 seed. But respecting that they had not played in a postseason and the program had never won a postseason game, it kind of led me to believe these guys are so happy, anything can happen. And that's what I mean. We played really good in Missouri, and I took the 9 seniors up on stage after we won. And then, of course, we won the Super Regionals here against Oklahoma State. And, I mean, you know, to go to Omaha in that first year was what a springboard that was for our program. And I'm sure college baseball, the world, even myself, I mean, we know how hard it is to get to Omaha. That, I mean, I believed that we would get back, but it just wasn't easy. And it took time. And we had to rebuild. And we had to recruit from scratch. And we were still a Big East school. And we just had some logistical challenges. And in 13, we hosted a regional, but we had to go to Vanderbilt for a super regional. And we won that super regional, and that was the year, you know, we were back in Omaha, and it was on. Like, it was like, okay, it wasn't just a magical run through the postseason. We were a regular. We've been in the postseason almost every year. We've been knocking on the door, and to get back to Omaha, that took our program to another level. That's when I thought we went from being a, I don't know, top 40 program, if you want to call it, to I want to say top 5 program, but to be humble, say a top 20 program, you know, like when you have a chance to go to Omaha every year, that puts you in a elite, unique category. And I don't want to ever take that for granted. And When we went in 13, then we went in 14, and we lost in 15 and 16 in super regionals. Then we went in 17. Again, I felt like it took our program into that top 5 or 10 or again, 20 type of program to say, hey, we're a regular at the dinner table, and look where our program's at. And those are two moments, first time we went, and then, of course, again in 13. But like I said to our players the other day, all Americans we recognize on our wall and all the high draft picks, but as a coach, you know it takes more than all Americans and high draft picks. Like some of maybe the most valuable players we coached, you know, might have been guys that didn't All-American. They were role players because they bought in. At the end of the day, they bought in to help this team. And I'm just as proud of those guys as I am, you know, the so-called superstars.
Well, once again, everybody, you're listening to The Long Ball with Andrew Brown, and a big round of applause, everybody, as I've been talking with Dan McDonald, head coach for the University of Louisville baseball program. It's truly been a conversation for the ages, coach. It's been wonderful talking with you. You truly are a great mind and a great ambassador to the sport of baseball, and we've seen your passion come through in full focus here in this conversation, and I can't thank you enough for taking the time to join the show.
It's February, and I appreciate you covering baseball, and especially from the great state of Iowa. You know, we're a southern school, but, man, we love the Midwest. So those kids and those families have been great to our program. So we'll continue to represent the Midwest proudly.
Well, we appreciate that, Coach, and hopefully maybe even someday we might see you down this way.
Hey, we're not against it. We want to play where the best players are, and we've gotten a lot of great players, like I said, from those great Midwest states. So anytime, no doubt.
And once again, everybody, the one, the only, the great Dan McDonald, head baseball coach for the University of Louisville. Coach, it's been an absolute pleasure. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and hope you get well prepared for the season to come.
Thank you. Have a great spring.
Once again, everybody, that was Dan McDonald, head coach for the University of Louisville baseball program. A wonderful baseball mind, a great person, and a great conversationalist. I hope you had just as much fun as I did there. It was a fantastic interview and something I'm going to remember for quite some time. Before I bid you official adieu, ladies and gentlemen, please make sure to stay tuned for future episodes as I talk with Nick Falaris, the newest member of D1Baseball.com. He is a Midwest region guy. He's going to be talking with me all about the Midwest region as well as Big Ten baseball, more specifically Iowa baseball. So you don't want to miss out on that. Also, we've got a possible connection with Iowa head baseball coach Rick Heller coming on up. We're going to be talking with Zach Mackey, the voice of Iowa baseball, as well as speaking with Jeff Turin, the host of ESPN 99.1 Overtime in Sioux Falls, and his experience on Radio Row in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. A lot coming on up. I hope you can stick around for more episodes and enjoy. But as for this one, it's been a blast. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so very much for tuning in. And as they say in the radio biz, until next time.